Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com.
Brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Whitson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' blowout loss in Dallas. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament. That was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Well, Ray, in 1973, I was an 11-year-old kid who was pretty sad about the New York Mets losing in the World Series to the Oakland A's after they led that series 3-2. But I don't know what you were doing in 1973, but in 1973, that's the last time the Warriors had a loss as bad as they had on Wednesday against the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, they just get pummeled by the Mavericks. And it was really right from the get-go. They never really had a chance in this game. Luka Doncic was amazing, 142-94. It kind of looks like a misprint, but that's the way it went.
Well, in 1973, I was, concluding my first failed relationship and then trying to move on from that. But at Hamilton High School in Los Angeles, we had a guy on our basketball team named William Youngie, who ended up going to San Jose State. He was a star player, and in one game he dropped 44 on, I think it was Westchester High School, and he outscored Westchester, which put up 42 for the game, if memory serves. Uh-huh. Well, it was I kind of got the same feeling watching Luka Doncic last night, because he outscored the Warriors, out-rebounded them, and out-assisted them in the first quarter. That hadn't been done, like I said, in a long, long time, and he's the first guy since, what, LeBron, I believe it was, to have a triple-double with 35 points in 25 minutes or less. Actually, he's the first to do it in that small a period of time. I mean, what a dominant performance, obviously against a badly depleted Warriors team that had as many players injured as dressed for last night's game.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, that loss that occurred that was as bad as this one, in 1973, that was in the Western Conference Finals. It was game three, the Lakers beating the Warriors in that one by 56, 126-70, and they went on to win that series, and then they ended up losing to the Knicks in the finals, the Lakers did, back in 1973. But
just real quick, I attended a Lakers-Warriors game around that time where the Lakers beat the Warriors, not in the playoffs, but they beat them 162-99, and that must have been before that.
I think that was the year before. I was reading Connor Letourneau's story in the San Francisco Chronicle, and I think he said that was the last regular season loss that was this bad.
I was at that game, and I believe it was George Johnson for the Warriors went down for a breakaway dunk, and he hit the heel of the rim, and the ball went out to midcourt. Keith Erickson took it the other way for a layup. So that's how bad it was going for the Warriors that night. Kind of got the same feeling against the Mavericks last night.
Yeah, I mean, Doncic, he could do pretty much anything he wants to do on the floor. He's just so natural. It comes to him. It seems like it comes to him easily. The step back three, too, which to me it looks like he doesn't travel, where with James Harden it kind of looks like he does travel. Uh-huh. Just my own thought on that. Yeah, what do you think?
Well, it doesn't look like it. He does travel. Talking about James Harden.
Yeah.
But for Luka, yeah, it's very smooth and not hurried. And he's kind of letting the game come to him. And that step back three is just going to be lethal for him. He's going to be Draymond Green said it last year. He's going to be a problem. And that's when he was 19. This guy is 20 years old, Joe. It's scary to think about what he is going to become, what he is already. I mean, he had a 42-point game this week. He probably would have dropped as many last night of the Warriors if the game had been a little closer. He would have been in there a little longer. But what he did in a short period of time, the damage was just absolute wreckage. They didn't have anybody to guard him. I mean, Kai Bowman tried, but it was just kind of a mismatch. And he's going to be a mismatch for a lot of people. He's going to be a player the Mavericks can build around. And, you know, one of the reasons they're much improved this year. And, you know, he's going to get stronger. You know, so he's going to get more savvy. He's one of those guys you watch along with the Greek Freak as far as just pure natural ability and also basketball sense. And this guy is going to be an elite player, I think, in the next few years.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the numbers. He put up 35 points in 25 minutes. He had 11 assists, 10 rebounds. And I saw this note you were talking about, you know, as far as comparing to LeBron James. The only players with back-to-back 35-point triple-doubles in NBA history, Luka joining Michael Jordan, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. That's it. I mean, he's now part of that group in NBA history to do that in back-to-back games.
Yeah, he's doing – when you're doing stuff that was done by MJ or Kobe or LeBron, I mean, you're in tall cotton. So, you know, this is a guy, like I said, he's – you know, there are a lot of great players, great young players out there. But this guy is a cut above. He's something special. And, you know, the Warriors just had no chance against him last night. And really, if you missed the first 6 minutes of the game, you missed the game. And apparently so did the Warriors, because it was 26-7 after 6 minutes. So, in the past, I've seen the Warriors fall behind. In fact, in the playoffs, they were the Spurs by about that much. But with the talent on the floor and the experience, you knew they'd figure a way to edge back into the game. There was plenty of time. That wasn't going to happen last night.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because it came right after a feel-good win. They finally break a losing streak.
Yeah.
And they have a win in Memphis on the road, and Draymond Green played really well in that game, and he was the facilitator. And then he wakes up with a sore heel, and he's not playing on Wednesday. You know, I don't know that they would have done much better with Draymond in the lineup, because it just looked like a dead night. And, you know, even Steve Kerr says, you know, they're just going to flush it. They're not even going to look at the film of this game. It's just like, let's just forget about this one.
That's all you can do in that situation. I saw on the Warriors' Twitter handle, they posted the final score, and their only caption was, on to the next. What can you do? You have games like that, especially when you're as depleted as the Warriors are. There's really nothing else to take away from a game like that. You take away more from the win. And, you know, I think it's an ideal situation long-term for the Warriors right now. You know, sprinkle in some wins, get some confidence once in a while that you can win an NBA game, that, you know, the young players get that experience and learn how to hold on to a lead. And at the same time, you have the worst record. So, you know, you get the best chance at the number one pick. And you know, whether that's going to be Anthony Edwards, who may not be a perfect fit for the Warriors, but could be a pretty special player, or Wiseman, who's still very raw. I don't know which way the Warriors are going to go, whether they're going to trade the pick, but they're going to be in a good position. And again, you know, you get Steph Curry back later on, and you're going to get some more wins. If Draymond stays healthy, and he didn't dress for the Dallas game, but I guess he will be back against Utah on Friday, and they expect Kevon Looney back next week. So they're going to get at least a couple of reinforcements and try to be competitive in these games. But there's a very good chance they end up, by the time Steph comes back, with the worst record. Now, is Steph going to go and spoil it? And they're going to get out of the top spot, at least for the chance for the number one pick? You know, maybe it doesn't matter because they may be looking at three or four guys who are pretty special, or they may be looking at packaging the pick to get an established NBA player. And this is what I said, you know, when the 49ers were terrible. And people were worrying about them beating the Rams in overtime a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember that last regular season game. I was there at Levi's, and the fans were fired up, and it was a nice little win. They won on a field goal in overtime. And people were complaining about how it ruined their draft position. They drop a couple of spots. You know what? I mean, you can't really think about that stuff. It has a way of working itself out. It really does, especially if you're a smart franchise. So I think whatever situation the Warriors are facing, I think they can get some quality out of it. I mean, just remember, Eric Paschal is a 41st pick, and look what he's doing already in this league. So I think they can figure it out one way or the other.
Yeah. I think when you're losing like this, it is hard on everybody, though. I mean, you can look at the big picture, but when you're the players and you're Steve Kerr and you've lost seven in a row, You're looking for some positives, you know, to win that Memphis game and to play better defensively. And they started talking about how, yeah, we're playing better lately defensively. And then they dropped this bomb in Dallas where, I mean, without Draymond out there, they weren't playing any defense. So, you know, yeah, you got to give credit to the Mavericks too. But I think that's the toughest thing, Ray, is if you can't stay in games when you don't play defense, it just it makes it so ugly. And I know the big picture is out there, but when you're following the team every game and when you're coaching in it and you're playing in it, it just becomes where you're miserable if you can't at least stay in a game and make it a, you know, an entertaining close game.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think everybody was in the mode by the second quarter. And, you know, it is what it is. We're going to play. And again, for the young players, the score shouldn't matter. You got to bring your effort because you're still auditioning it in the NBA, and they have plenty of young players and also older players who are kind of hanging around. Either they're going to be with this team, like Alec Burks, or they're going to be auditioning for another spot in the NBA down the road. And they want to show they can still play, and there's got to be a matter of personal pride. But when you don't have your defensive captain on the floor, you're basically your coach on the floor, and Draymond makes it that much tougher. Yeah, again, may not have made a difference against Luka Doncic, but you know, down the road, what you want to do is develop these players, and you do it when you have a guy like Draymond on the floor mentoring them about where to be, about what to do in certain situations. You know, he couldn't tell them to avoid technical fouls. That's not his forte. But, he, you know, as far as defensive positioning, you know, basketball IQ, he's way up there. So you lose that sort of institutional knowledge on the floor, then, yeah, the young guys don't learn as much from the losses or from the minutes they have on the floor. So that's got to be something, you know, that you hope Draymond is there for, that Kevon Looney is there for, and they learn what good defensive play is because they see it right next to them on the floor. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what kind of offensive player some of these guys are. It looks like Pascal is going to develop into a pretty good scorer, and he's already learning how to draw fouls, which is going to be, I think, a big part of his game because he's pretty physical, you know, a little undersized, but he's physical. You know, as far as the scoring punch they're going to have, I don't know. I mean, as far as that's concerned, you know, when Russell comes back, Curry, Klay Thompson, way down the road, they're going to have plenty of scoring punch. But these guys can make a spot for themselves in this league if they're better defensively. There isn't one so overwhelming offensive player that I see that they can afford to slack off on defense. So that's got to be a big emphasis this year as far as their development. You know, Jordan Poole, I don't know. Yeah, it's early, I grant it, but so far it's not looking good.
No, I mean, sort of the decisions that he makes on his shots, not great.
I
don't think anybody wants to see Spellman and Chris shoot the ball either. I mean, those guys are showing that they're kind of getting exposed here as far as the, you know, the jump shots. I'd rather see them give the ball up than shoot it because, I mean, there's too many wasted possessions.
And then the question is, who are you giving up the ball to?
Right. Well, it's got to be Burks and Pascal, like every
Burks,
possession,
Burks
right?
And Pascal. And, of course, D'Angelo Russell, when he's on the floor, you got to give the ball to him and go ISO, because that's probably your most effective offense at this point. And, you know, I've thought a little bit more about Russell and how he's going to fit in this equation. Because, you know, on the surface, no, it doesn't look like he fits with what Steph and Klay and Draymond do. But at the same time, he can create his own shot. And this is the circular argument we had when Jarrett Jack was here as a backup guard. Oh, he dribbles too much. Well, how many guys can get their own shot? He was pretty good at that. So he had some value in that regard. I'm not saying D'Angelo Russell's like Jarrett Jack. I think he's a more talented player. But sometimes the attitude is, I'm gonna take over here. Well, he's got the skills to do it. We've seen that. He had an incredible hot three-game stretch last week. So, you know, maybe it's you figure different lineups and rotations where this guy can shine, especially coming off the bench, and every NBA team can use scoring punch off the bench. I'm not saying that, you know, is that what you're spending all this money for this guy to be a bench player? Well, it's not necessarily about whether you're starting or finishing. It's how many minutes you have. You know, as time goes on, they'll figure out how these pieces fit together. I still think you have to consider packaging him in a trade down the road, and you try to increase his trade value, and that's what this year is going to be about. But it doesn't mean you discount, you know, exploring a role for him on this team. And if you have him, and if you have Pascal, and if you have Klay, and if you have Steph, and if you have Draymond and Kevon Looney, well, that's a pretty good core.
Here's what Warriors head coach Steve Kerr had to say after the loss in Dallas.
you flush it down the toilet. You literally just you move on. You don't take anything from a game like this. So these guys have been working really hard, and they've made a lot of improvement the last couple weeks. And so we move on from here. And we're not going to be watching tape of this one. We just get ready for Utah on Friday.
That's Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. We'll have more Dubs OT right after this.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
What do you think of Willie Cauley-Stein so far? I mean, to me, it kind of looks like, you know, the rest of his career so far, where he's averaging around, you know, 8 to 10 points and, you know, whatever, 6 to 8 rebounds. Nothing really special. He's a big body out there, but it seems like he could do better. Like he could definitely be more of an impactful player. I know he had some good comments about how Steve Kerr has been patient with the whole team, and I wonder how they are acting with Willie Cauley-Stein, if they're being patient with him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes he disappears, right?
Yeah.
You don't even know he's there, and you want more out of a player than that, especially someone who was drafted this high. But again, it may not be the Kings' his fault. It may be the Kings' fault for drafting him so high. Maybe he's just not going to be that sort of guy, and he may be just a rotational player. And you know, we're finding this out now that he has to play a lot of minutes with the Warriors. And you know, there are times where he's not the guy that you want as the last line of defense. Sometimes he is, sometimes he isn't. He just kind of goes in and out. And you know, when Looney comes back, that's going to reduce Cauley-Stein's minutes. And, you know, he won't be exposed as much, I guess. I mean, he's just probably just a rotational NBA guy at this point.
Yeah, that was something I'm looking at going, I mean, here's a 7-footer that's out there, should be playing better defense, and should be even, you know, more of an offensive player. I mean, with that type of size, they're just not getting what they need to get down there. I mean, you know, the lobs that they used to throw to their big man, you know, he's not a guy who finishes all the time, I don't think.
Well, I think that's where it hurts him, that Draymond isn't there all the time, that Steph Curry isn't there all the time, that D'Angelo Russell isn't there all the time. So you lose some opportunities on pick and rolls and things like that, that where he could shine, and that his offensive game is not varied enough otherwise. You know, I've seen him take a couple of jump shots. They're pretty good. I mean, you know, he's not as awkward shooting as, say, Ben Simmons, who finally got his first NBA three. No, but of course, Ben Simmons is so incredibly skilled in many other ways. But I've seen him shoot, and he doesn't look terrible. But let's put it this way. If you're ending up in your offense with Willie Cauley-Stein taking a mid-range jumper, you're probably not doing too well in that possession. You know, you just kind of hope it goes in. He's got to be about the lobs, about working inside, about blocking shots and rebounding, and doing it on a consistent basis. So we got all year to figure that out, I guess.
You know, Kai Bowman, he's an exciting player, but I'm not sure that he's going to be sticking around either. You know, he doesn't have a lot of experience. They're kind of like trying to keep him there because he has a two-way contract. But when other players come back healthy, I don't know that he'll still be around. He is exciting, though. I mean, at times, I mean, he always gives his all. You can tell he's out there hustling, but he does get overmatched, you know, especially defensively.
Well, I mean, that was a really tough matchup against Doncic. That's a tough match for just about anybody in the NBA. So he's getting his baptism under fire that way. He's showing the ability to shoot three-pointers, which is going to be important for him. He's showing the ability to ball handle. He's showing some fearlessness and definitely some spark and some fire. He doesn't look like a guy who's scared of being out on the NBA floor. You know, this is an undrafted guy. I'm a little more intrigued by him. I think he deserves, and he's going to get, a lot more time to figure out what his role is. But, you know, right now they don't have a bunch of guys who can shoot three-pointers. He's one of them. I guess Damian Lee would be another. Spellman can shoot a three at a reasonable percentage. D'Angelo Russell is pretty good. He could be a little bit better. You know, Jordan Poole is off to an awful start, but supposedly that's going to be part of his game. But I think in this league, especially if you're a guard like Bowman, you got to shoot the three. And he's shown that ability so far. So that's one of those guys I think that this year is very useful for, to see if he can be a guy who can have a spot like an Ian Clark in the NBA. You know, and I'm not ready to discount him yet.
Probably the biggest story lately in the NBA is Carmelo Anthony joining the Portland Trailblazers. What do you think of that move? I mean, you kind of root for the guy being out, and he worked hard to get back in, but I'm not sure if that's going to be a good fit. I guess we'll have to see.
Who knows? I mean, you can always say that about Carmelo Anthony with a lot of teams because he's pretty much a ball-dominant player, but he can still score. You know, I think the Trailblazers believe that, and they're still placing NBA for guys who can fill it up. You know, whether he fits into any offense, especially when you've got Damian Lillard out there, I don't know, but he's another scoring option. And I think even at this advanced age, he's pretty much gone into old man at the gym category, which kind of blows me away. but, you know, he's still got some skills. I mean, you know, hey, Jamal Crawford was reigning in threes till he was pushing 40. So, you know, there's always a place for a guy who has the skills that Carmelo Anthony has. And I say has. I mean, he doesn't have the skills that he once had, but he'd still be an effective player. You know, in Portland, where you have McCollum, where you have Lillard, I don't know how they're going to mix that as far as the rotations. You know, I guess this is another guy you say, okay, come off the bench and see if you can get hot. And then you work from there.
Well, that team, you know, they might as well try something, right? I mean, they kind of have nothing to lose the way things have gone. But as far as the West is concerned,
disappointing.
As far as the West is concerned, Ray, I mean, it really is wide open. I mean, you look at all these teams, and they're all kind of capable of doing some damage when you get into the postseason. The Lakers are sort of head and shoulders above everybody else. But Dallas, after watching them against the Warriors and seeing, you know, the way Doncic and Porzingis can play in a game, you know that they're going to be in the mix. Of course, the Clippers and the Rockets and the Nuggets are all really good teams. It's kind of hard to pick who's going to be there at the end other than the Lakers.
Yeah, Utah Jazz, too. You know, they certainly have some talent. They got a nice win over Minnesota. You know, I say watch the Clippers with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, you know, depending on how many games they get to play together. And they got together last night. It was kind of sloppy. But in the end, they pulled out an overtime win over the Celtics, you know, which is a team that's no joke. So I still say watch for the Clippers. And if they're able to get it together with those two incredible players, and they're a pretty good defensive team, I still think that they're a big, big threat to the Lakers. The Lakers off to a great start, and you know, when you got a 1-2 punch of LeBron and Anthony Davis, my goodness, and you mix in a, you know, somebody like Kuzma, you know, they might be the best in the West. But you know, I started the year saying, you know, without Paul George, the Clippers look like they could be the best. So I'm gonna say just continue to watch them because they could very well overtake the Lakers.
And the Warriors, as you said, playing Utah on Friday and coming off that win over Minnesota. Utah's been a good team for years, really. I mean, Quinn Snyder does a good job as the head coach. Seems like they have a pretty well-rounded roster, so it's going to be another tough test for the Warriors on Friday.
Yeah, yeah, defensively especially, because if you're stopping the lob to Gobert, they've got several guys who can shoot the three at a pretty consistent rate. You know, Bogdanovich had a really good game last night. Donovan Mitchell, I think, was 5-for-10 from the three-point range. And they've got a couple of other guys like Jeff Green. So, you know, they provide a real test for especially a young defense trying to figure out how to switch and how to cover ground, you know, when they're trying to avoid a Gobert lobbing them with slam dunks to death and the kick out to corner threes or wing threes. And they're also a pretty good defensive team, too. So, I mean, obviously they're head and shoulders above the Warriors, but that's the funny thing about the Warriors. You know, they get a couple of guys back, they're going to be able to rise up and beat a couple of teams here and there. I don't know if Friday night's going to be the night, depending on how healthy Draymond is. But they play better at home. We know that. So, that, you know, that'll be one to look for. But it's just been a a grueling stretch of this schedule, and it doesn't look like it's going to get a whole lot better, maybe a little bit, but it's going to be, you know, scraping for wins here and there, maybe one out of five, one out of four, you know, until Steph Curry gets back. And, you know, we'll see how Looney is next week as well, if he's able to come back. Down the road, Smiley Geach, I think, is going to be an intriguing guy to watch. There's going to be some fun to be had, let's put it that way, because there always is in NBA games. But I think everybody who's watching the Warriors or attending these games has the big picture in mind. We're just looking at what can be a building block for the future for next season, when this team could come back and still be a contender.
Well, hopefully a little bit better off next week. It can't get any worse than it did on Wednesday, and the Warriors do come home. They play Oklahoma
Don't
City
say that.
And Chicago. Yeah, I guess it could. You never know. You never know.
We've learned, you know, just in life, just when you think it hits bottom, something worse happens. You know? I can't imagine. I can't imagine it being worse than only being able to dress the minimum eight players, and a lot of them very inexperienced. So that was just like a perfect storm there with Dallas. But Dallas is no joke, and, yeah, they're going to be a team to contend with in the next few years as well. But in the meantime, I would hope that fans aren't that going out there thinking, oh, yeah, if we can keep it within 30, that's improvement. No, you want to see competitive games, and I think we will.
All right, Ray, look forward to talking to you about it next week.
All right, sounds good, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.